Get your Bibles out this morning. Sure am thankful for our church. Thankful for these that are here. Pray for those, again, that are not feeling well. Ever hear that phrase, ignorance is bliss, right? Which is true. That's why I don't watch the news. I woke up this morning and I was happy. I was spent some time praying for local pastors this morning and just asking God to help get my heart ready for this message this morning. And I didn't turn on the news and didn't want to know what happened last night. Why? Because it would discourage me. So I just like to live in my world, right? Say that's not real. I know. But ignorance is bliss. But the danger comes is when we approach the Word of God in that way. And sometimes, if I don't read about it, I'm not going to be responsible for that. Is that true? No, it is not true. If I break the law, and I tell the officer, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was the law, he's going to say, well, that's too bad, right? When we were going into Trinidad, we didn't know it, but it is illegal to have camouflage. And we brought Brother Sutliff. And so there we go, walking through the gate, and the one man calls him over. He says, you're not going to want to go through the next gate. They'll take your bag. And didn't know that, because all the gangs use camouflage, so camouflage is outlawed. If he would have walked through and broke the law, they would have confiscated his stuff, and you say, well, I didn't know. Well, too bad, you broke the law. God, I didn't know about that, or I really didn't want to think about that. Well, that's too bad, it's true. Concerning the Word of God, we cannot approach the Word of God as ignorance is bliss. I just want to know a couple things, and I'll work with those couple things. Now, it is certainly beneficial to do what we believe, right? That's important. It's important to know what we believe and why, and what the Scripture says about it. We were talking a little bit in young adults about the benefit of the authority of the Scriptures. Right, praise the Lord. I think Jay is teaching on how to study your Bible. And man, it is so important to be able to get things out of the Scriptures, make application personally to our life, and then continue on for Him. But if I read it and go, oh, that's good for him or them, but not me, we're doing ourselves a great disservice. So this morning we're going to look at probably the most unpopular message in the Bible. Say why? Because ignorance is not bliss. We need to be aware. We need to be reminded. There are certain topics that as much as I would like to talk about something else or do something, it is in the Scriptures. And we do need to remind ourselves because it should change how we live daily. So let's pray and we'll see what the Lord has for us in the Scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your saving grace as we sang about, as we testified about, as we heard about this morning. God, I'm thankful again. I'm looking forward to the day when you call us home. I'm looking forward to the day when I can see you face to face. Until then, will you find us faithful? Lord, I pray as we open up your word this morning, that God, as we approach a topic we would like to just pretend doesn't exist, Lord, I pray that you'd remind us of how real it is. Lord, we need you here. Lord, I pray as I approach your word, I'd stand upon your promises and upon your confidence in the authority of the Scriptures. And Lord, have my flesh have no place here today. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you should have your Bibles out. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. The most unpopular message this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 22, and it says this, "For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." This morning's message is the reality of hell. I look outside, and how many of you can say, I have participated in some sort of fall activity already. That might be eating a apple cider donut, maybe went to the Apple Fest, maybe had cider. How many of you have drank single-handedly already a gallon of cider? Thank you. Maybe took a walk, maybe went on a little road trip to see the leaves changing. And we like those things. Those are happy things. I went apple picking and love the fresh apples and that perfect cool fall temperature puts the apples at the perfect temperature right off the tree. A bite in, juice goes everywhere. We like that. I like to walk outside and I like to see the and smell the fresh fall foliage. It's just got those leaves have a smell about them. Last couple of days we've had a fire in our wood stove to just take the chill out. And you walk in the house and it smells like wood stove. Not smoke, but just that heat has a smell. And we like those things. We like to think about those things. We like to participate in those things. But we don't like to think about some distance in the center of the earth as souls burning for eternity. I don't want to think about that. Makes me sad to think about that. Makes me unhappy. I don't want to think about those. Those are negative thoughts. I'm trying to get rid of negative thoughts. Those are real thoughts. The picture of hell is a real picture. Deuteronomy 32 tells us that there is fire there. In Luke chapter 16, please turn over to that. Luke chapter 16. It would be a lot easier if you just came and said, I don't believe in hell. Hey, there's some churches that don't believe in hell. So how is that possible? Well, we'll go one step further back. They don't believe the Bible. And not believing the Bible, we can make up whatever it is that we want. Because we've removed the authority of the Scriptures. And man, it would be a happy life if there was no hell. Everybody gets in. Everybody spends eternity with God. Why? Because naturally we are good people and God loves us. But that's not the truth. That's not real. What's going on right now? There are souls in great torment. So how do you know? Luke chapter 16 and verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. The reality of hell is that, as we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and as we see here in Luke chapter 16, that there is real flames, real fire. There's my mechanic lives just up the road, maybe a tenth of a mile, quarter of a mile north of my house. He has an older son. His older son is severely scarred. Scars all over his face, all over his body. At 5 years of age, was in an awful accident and was burned very badly. Lived, he's probably, looks like he's my age. I don't know, it's tough to tell. But if you've ever been burned, that's an awful feeling. First-degree burns, we're ready to... But if you've ever walked into, over at the hospital, the burn ward, those third-degree burns. Hey, flame, the flame is destructive. And that's what hell is. I read there's a white fire, and it is 1,500 degrees Celsius, which is 2,732 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. That's really hot. And yet, not consumed. He says, I'm tormented in this flame. The reality of hell is that there is real fire there. Real torment. Look at verse 23. And it says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Torments. Say, you'll get used to the flame. No. How many of you have back problems? Anybody? Where's Mrs. Faulkner? Where is she? Is she in the nursery? You have back problems? or maybe a hip or a knee or something. And after a while, you just get accustomed to the pain. You just deal with it. Your back hurts and it just always hurts. You almost become numb to it. That's not the case with hell. The torment is always felt. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 22. The reality of hell this morning. Number one, we have flame. Number two, we have torment. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The torment does not produce contentment. Our stove, we have a stove at the house, not our wood stove, but our like a cooking stove, and it has a setting. Self-cleaning. Anybody, any ladies have the self-cleaning oven? Great. And that's pretty neat. Powerful. You have to lock the thing, right? There's a special lock. So you have to lock it, and then you turn this on, and I don't know how long it takes, maybe 3, 4, 5 hours, and it raises the temperature so high that it incinerates everything inside the oven. And then you just go in with a little shop vac after it cools way down, and you just clean all the little particles, dust. And it's brand new, happy, right? Pretty close. If it doesn't melt your walls. Imagine sitting in that. Say, I die immediately. Imagine sitting in that and not being able to die. How hot is that? I don't know. But being able to feel that. Weeping. And it says this, gnashing of teeth. What does that mean? Just utter pain. The clenched jaw, trying to tense up to... In Matthew chapter 13, it describes it even further. So not only is there weeping and gnashing of teeth, but in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 49, it describes hell as this. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing also. So not just crying, but wailing. You know the difference. Screaming out in pain. Yesterday we were at the football tournament and our boys played in the football tournament. And there was a little girl and she was running. All of a sudden I hear this screaming. What happened? Well, she tripped and skinned her chin. But she was little, so skinned chin. She thought she was dying. How about being in eternal flame and torments? What does that sound like? Well, the Bible describes it as weeping and wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth. That's what it looks like. If we were able to open up the earth and look down and say, what does it look like down there? That. The Bible tells us the reality of hell is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that there's separation from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Say, yeah, I don't believe these things. The Bible's true. And as much as I don't like them, I'm here to tell you, I don't like them. I don't like it. But it's true. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I'm going to go to hell for a little while, and then I'm going to get out. No, you will forever be separated from God. There's fire, there's torment, there's separation from God. Let me tell you what it's not. Hell's not a party. There's a lot of jokes about what hell will be. Hell's not worth joking over. D.L. Moody said, don't let scoffers laugh you into hell because they cannot laugh you out of it. It's no joke. It's not a, hey, we're going to sit around and listen to the music that I despise or have to eat something I don't like or be chained to my mother-in-law. That's not hell. Some people say, this earth is hell. No. Hell is a mental state. The Bible tells me in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, he lifted up his eyes and he asked that he could touch the cool of his tongue. That's no mental state. That's a physical state. The picture of hell. Can you see that? If you close your eyes, can you see that? Can you hear that? You know, the Bible tells us that heaven has a place. Say, where is it? On the sides of the north. Where's that? I'm going up. I'm staying up. But the Bible warns us of the lowest of places. In Deuteronomy 32, a place called hell. The lowest of places. Can't it get any worse? You know, we kind of have a joke. We look around, even on a bad day, you can always say, well, it could be snowing or something, you know. You don't go to hell and say, well, it couldn't be worse. Say, why is there such a place then? 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us the purpose of hell. Number one, we saw the picture of hell. Number two, it's a real place. Number three, the purpose of hell. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. See, that's what it was designed for. The devil and his angels. And delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That was the plan. If we turn over to Acts chapter 10. Go to Acts 10 quickly. Isn't it a blessing that we preached this message a little while ago, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a blessing? Rich, poor, smart, not smart, thin, not thin. There was a time when you used to be able to call people fat, but not anymore. We are politically not allowed to do that anymore. So not thin, not smart, what, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Again, man, woman, it doesn't matter. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're thankful for that. And we're thankful that God is no respecter of persons concerning heaven. But equally, he is no respecter of persons. Period. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God, look at all these great not-for-profit food organizations that we fed millions of starving children. Surely you'll let me in heaven. No. Look at how wealthy I am. See, we as Americans feel like we can get out of any situation. Any situation. That's some of the problems with some of these students that travel over to countries that don't have the same laws and rules as us. I'm going to be funny and do something. Remember the young man that went over and thought it'd be funny to tear off a government poster off the wall in North Korea. How'd that go? Not good. Well, I'm an American. Get me out of here. Not anymore. Well, look at all these great things I did. Surely God will let me in. No. It's not because of your goodness and greatness that you get out of hell. Hell is impartial to people. The rich, the poor, the intelligent, the good, the bad, the high class, the low class. Go back to Luke chapter 16. We'll see that. Luke chapter 16. We have two people in our story. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. Or 22, I'm sorry. Luke 16, 22 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died." A beggar. Where's the beggar? He's in Abraham's bosom. He's on the right side of the gulf. "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes in torments." The beggar goes where? Abraham's bosom. Why? Because of the life he lived here. The decisions he made here. Where did the rich man go? Went to hell. Why? Based on the decisions he made here. Every single person, and I'll tell you the argument against hell. A loving God would never send anybody to hell. Correct. Every single person that's in hell is there by their own choice. Just like you chose to come here today. You chose to walk through the doors of Walker Bible Baptist Church. No one, well, most no one, was forced to come. Maybe a child. Maybe a spouse. "We're going to church. I'm tired. We're going to church." All right. Here you find yourself. But for the most part, you chose. Every single person that's in hell is there by choice. Say, what choice? Did you deny the gospel? You can blame nobody. The Lazarus and the rich man, the rich man can blame nobody but himself. God's not to blame. The sinner is to blame. The purpose of hell was designed for the angels. Number two, for those that reject the gospel. And number three, as an eternal judgment. We saw that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We read these verses already, but it says, "Into everlasting..." We like everlasting life. But do you know that there's an everlasting destruction? So how long is that? Forever. You have this life to determine your forever. And you get one choice. One chance. One opportunity. Because when you're dead and gone and you don't know when that is, it's settled for eternity. Can't someone pray me out? Nope. If I serve a certain sentence, never expires. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 13. I'm with you. I would really like it if hell wasn't real. But it is. There's a real place with real people, with real torments and real wailing and real burning and real flames. For all eternity. And I'd like to not even think about it, but I can't. Because it's real. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and hell were delivered up. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." For all eternity. It's eternal judgment. God's judgments are always eternal. It's either eternal life or eternal judgment. And you get to decide. You get to choose. Which one will it be? If you're here this morning and you are not sure, if you don't know 100% for sure I wouldn't gamble on that. See, maybe hell will run out of room. Surely there must not, Proverbs 27:20 tells us it's never full, never satisfied. It's never enough. Proverbs 27:20. We'll look there. Proverbs 27 and verse 20 says this, hell and destruction are never full. There's always room for more. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14 tells us that hell actually enlarges itself. Gets bigger. It's never satisfied. We read a couple weeks ago that we are without excuse. We are without excuse. Once again, the only reason a person would ever go to hell is because they chose personally to deny the gospel. To which I ask, why would you do that? If this doesn't have to be your eternity, why would you not? If Jesus Christ really died on the cross and paid for your sin, why wouldn't you let Him forgive you? Say, does anything defeat hell? I think it was on Friday we were talking out of John chapter 1. Light always beats darkness. Isn't that neat? No matter how dark it is, you turn on a light, light wins. You can't have light and darkness coexist. They don't work. Light always wins. Say, is there something that conquers hell? Yes. Yes, there is. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're almost done. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18 says this, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The enemy of hell is the church. Say, why the church? Because this is where the gospel is preached. Through the church is the redemptive act of Christ. It's where grace is settled. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded," look, "grace did much more abound." What can quench the fire of hell? The grace of God. It trumps the fires of hell. Say, the only way out of the fires of hell is by the grace of God. Exactly. The Bible says this in verse 21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Christ is the only victory over hell. And praise the Lord, that is available to all. The grace of God and the church of God is the enemy of hell. We are the thing that stands between life and the gates of hell. And there we stand, begging people not to enter that door. Because once you go in, you never come out. Let us remember, hell on a regular basis is being defeated by faithful Christians preaching the gospel. You can have an impact on eternity. Everybody wants to make an impact on this life. I want to have my name in lights. I want to do great things. I want to change my world. I'm going to
invent something that's going to help people. Why are you limiting yourself? How about affecting eternity? Something that will not end with this life, but something that will last for eternity. Remember Jonah? Poor Jonah. Jonah was a mess. Jonah was a mess. God sent him to a people he despised. And sometimes, well, sometimes we approach the loss the same way Jonah did. The dangers of hell for those that are lost. But number two, the dangers of hell to the Christian who's apathetic towards it. Say, what does that mean? I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to consider it. Why? Because it makes me really sad. Then you are not standing at the gate. If we would like to bury our head in the sand about the topic of hell, then there's going to be souls. Do not hear the gospel by our tongue. There will be people go back to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, look at verse 27. The proposal this morning is that we as... Hey, if you're lost here today, you don't have to go to this place. Let someone show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a child of God. Point number two, though. Christian, can we fulfill Luke chapter 16, verse 27? Luke 16, 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him into my Father's house. Could we fulfill that? That we are going house to house, person to person, trying to do everything within our power to prevent people to go to this awful place. I can't save anybody, but I certainly can give them the option. I can present the option with them. Charles Spurgeon said this, it is shocking to reflect that a change in the weather has more effect on men's lives than the dread alternative of heaven or hell. And you might be sitting here thinking, I believe there's a hell, I just don't like to talk about it. Then you're guilty of the apathy of hell. It's a real place with real flames and real people, and it's going to last for all eternity. So we can bury our head in the sand and pretend it's not there, or we can fulfill those scriptures that the church will stand against the gates of hell and be faithful witnesses to those that have never heard, or to those that heard and still contend. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're here today and you're not saved, say, I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, I have some doubts. I heard those testimonies this morning, and I've done good things. I've done right things. I've tried to live a good life, and I was hoping my good would outweigh the bad and God would let me in. But from what you're showing me, I need Jesus Christ. I just don't know. But I would like to know if there's someone here today like that. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Just come forward, and I'll pair you up with someone that can show you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved. Not a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church, not any of that, but a child of God saved from the wrath of hell. Say, what would send me to hell? Your sin. Your sin sends you to hell. And to do nothing
would be to guarantee your ticket there.
Secondly, Christian, if you're here today and say, whew, glad I got in. Glad I'm saved. Glad I don't have to worry about that for me. Let's not take on that apathetic role, but fulfill the role that we will stand against it. That we will, every way we possibly can, deliver the grace of God to those that need it. Maybe this morning you got someone on your mind, family member, a friend, that you want to pray and say, God, give me one more chance to talk to that one. Lord, I'm sorry for not being more serious about this. I've neglected it. I don't like to think about it. That's me. But you can't hide from it. It's for real. Maybe this morning you come. Pray that God would open your eyes to the reality of hell. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation now. God, very serious topic. And Lord, just to be truthful, I don't like talking about it. God, it's real. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to treat it as if it's real. If there's someone here today that doesn't know for sure, God, I pray that they would be humble and courageous enough to step out and ask someone to show them from the Scriptures what it means to be saved. Lord, we as Christians, stir in our hearts. Change us. That we might impact our world with the Gospel. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?